Welcome to the Good Fiction Podcast. Join us as we continue with Darkest Darker Dark, Episode 11. It wasn't the weed, but the bottle of scotch she'd stashed from her dad's liquor cabinet that was giving her the headache. She'd only done two or three, or maybe four shots, but that was enough to give her a whopper of a headache. Her stomach was upset too. 6 a.m. came awfully quick as she sat up most of the night listening to her headphones and blowing bong hits out of the screen window. Getting high by herself wasn't her favorite thing in life, but a few nips of scotch got rid of that problem. The pile of books she brought home from school were exactly where she left them when she set them down the previous afternoon. Inside her binder were several pages of makeup assignments and lists of things to do. That went untouched, too. The nausea in her stomach was getting worse as she started to fake her way through getting ready for school. A quick shower, then the all-important picking of the outfit. It was very cold outside, and some light snow had fallen during the night, making a fluffy white carpet across the Calhoun's yard as she peered out of her temporary bedroom window. The sky was dull, gray, and depressing. It looked like her stomach felt. Still, she got herself ready. Black again. This time her black choker seemed appropriate, so she put it around her neck. No wrist stuff today. She used a purple scrunchie to get her hair into a ponytail after spending several minutes brushing it. Something about black and purple together really set well with her. One last run to the restroom after downing two or three sips of coffee, and she was ready to go to school. Nathan, she learned on the trip, would not be going to school today. He was not feeling well and was asleep with a temperature. Funny, she hadn't even thought about him before getting in the car with Mrs. Calhoun that morning. Hoping he was okay was really all she could do anyway. It wasn't like she could tell his parents that the reason he was sick was that he was shooting dope every day. She'd be out on the street if that little tidbit of information were known. After all, Nathan would never do anything like that without some encouragement from an outside source. That's what his parents would say. They would blame it on Debbie and she'd be on her own. Maybe that wouldn't be so bad on second thought. It wasn't like she didn't have the money to do that. She could get an apartment and furnish it nicely, get a big screen TV, and simply vegetate. Lots of good weed, that would work. It sure would be going to school. Then she snapped back into reality. She was too young. No one would rent her an apartment anyway. The best thing for her was to finish school, go to college, make something of her life, and do good, despite the fact that she had tons of cash. Maybe the best thing for Debbie was to bring herself down to where she should be. A girl going to high school with a boyfriend named Nathan. Socialize with kids her own age. Quit nitpicking at their behaviors. After all, the things she'd seen at school the previous day were leading her to believe that she was more mature than anyone else. But it wasn't their fault that she'd been through so much. Maybe they deserved a second chance and she could overlook their immaturity. When they got to school, her stomach was feeling much better. That helped to improve her mood. She took advantage of her good feelings to practice what she had thought about in the car and spent the morning socializing and talking to people she knew. So much time, in fact, that she didn't get to speak with Mr. Marshall at all. The day seemed to race by and it was time to go home before she knew it. Nathan was with his mother, and she parked so that he could go in the building and get his makeup work. He was looking much better. Debbie went with him inside. This would give her a chance to talk to Mr. Marshall. Nathan rounded up his makeup assignments, then stopped by his locker to grab what he needed. The hallways were empty except for the occasional teacher hurrying from one spot to another in an attempt to get finished for the day. Two teachers could be heard laughing at the far end of the hallway about what no one could only guess. The blue uniform custodian had begun his late afternoon duties and was preparing the hallway as he pushed a bright yellow mop bucket with squeaky wheels to its starting point. There, however, was no sign of Devi. He kind of figured where she would be, though. Mr. Marshall's class, no doubt. So he took off in that direction, his tennis shoes squeaking on the tile floor. Once he got to Marshall's room, he realized he had guessed correctly. He could clearly hear Debbie's voice and Mr. Marshall's voice coming from his room in somewhat hushed tones. Slowing so his tennis shoes wouldn't squeak, he listened in as he approached the open door of the classroom. Snooping? Yeah, but this little fascination she had with Marshall had always bothered him anyway. It was Mr. Marshall this, Mr. Marshall that. Then there was that bizarre situation of her wanting him to pick out her parents' caskets with her. None of this did he ever question her about. Not that he didn't want to. It was just that he figured he was reading too much into it. The last thing he wanted was for her to think he was jealous, especially that he was jealous of something as ridiculous as that. The closer he got to the door, the clearer their words were. The better he could hear, too. Debbie was talking in serious tones, as was Marshall. He stopped just outside the door and leaned against the wall. Out of sight, but positioned so that he could clearly hear what was being said. 3 o'clock would still be the best time. It was Debbie. It's easier for me to get out of the house then. They're either asleep or just lazing around enjoying their day on the weekend. Nathan would normally be with me, but engrossed in a movie. So you're sure it's not going to be a problem? Asked Marshall. No, I've got it all figured out. It'll be okay, I promise, she said. Okay, I'll be there, said Marshall. Quit worrying. Everything is okay. I'm smarter than I look, she said. Yes, I know. Nathan could picture the grin across Marshall's face. He wanted to jump in and demand to know what they were talking about. He started to, but was startled suddenly by steps coming toward the open door. I'd better go find Nathan. I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? Before Nathan could respond, Debbie was standing in the doorway looking right at him. Well, speak of the devil, she said. Found him already? Asked Marshall from inside the room. Nathan moved into the doorway where he could be seen. The jig was up. Mr. Marshall, how's it going? He asked. He didn't know why, he just did. Maybe he was scared to confront him after all. Maybe he hadn't heard things right. Nathan, did you get all you needed? Asked Debbie in an unusually happy voice as she took his arm and started leading him back down the hallway. Yeah, I guess so, he said. Good, at least you've got a couple of days to make your work up. Just think of all the stuff I've got to do. Nathan got the feeling Debbie was trying to get him to think about and talk about things other than what she was doing in Marshall's room. For the time being, he'd let it go. He wouldn't forget about it or drop it, though. But he needed to think through it. He needed to replay the conversation in his mind to make sure that he was interpreting it correctly. You feeling better, Nathan? She asked as they got in the car. You really didn't look too good, you know. Her implication was concerning how Nathan was doing in regard to doing a little too much smack. But Miss Calhoun would never catch that. I'm better, he said. Just needed a little rest. You know how it is. Debbie was in the passenger seat and was looking over her shoulder at Nathan as he sprawled out in the back seat. His feet were propped against one back seat window, and his head rested against the back door of the other side. He rested both hands on his stomach and tried to keep the conversation going. He tried to keep his mind off what he had heard. You look pretty rested back there to me, she said. Nathan noticed a playful sort of happiness that hadn't been there in Debbie's voice in a long time. Could it be that it was Mr. Marshall's little planned rendezvous with her that had brought that spark into her personality? What a depressing thought that was. You seem to be doing a lot better too, Debbie. You seem, I don't know, happy or something lately. Well, of course she's happy, interrupted Mrs. Calhoun. It's a lovely day, and look, it's starting to snow. Yeah, it's a lovely day, Nathan, said Debbie. Debbie mocking Mrs. Calhoun. Must be the snow, mumbled Nathan. What? Asked Debbie, her brow wrinkled. Debbie was sensing some displeasure in Nathan's tone of voice. She guessed that it had to do with the fact that she was in Mr. Marshall's room and that it bothered him. Whatever, he was just jealous. Kind of cute, she thought. The fact that he might have overheard her conversation with Marshall crossed her mind, but she quickly dismissed it. He would surely have confronted her about it if he had heard. No, it was jealousy. Jealous of the attention she showed to someone other than him. They unloaded themselves from the car as the spring snow began to fall even harder, dots of white like a TV station that had lost its signal turned to big flakes that fell from low clouds at an angle. This way, that way, as the wind gusted and died and tried to make up its mind on which way to blow, patches of white were already turning to uninterrupted seas of white carpet as the fluffy flakes found their final resting spots on top of their already fallen companions. Their shoes made crunching noises as they carefully walked the short distance from the car to the front door. There, Mrs. Calhoun led the way, while Nathan clutched his makeup work and Debbie reluctantly thought about hers. The snowfall didn't last long. Before Debbie and Nathan could retreat to the neutral corners of their bedrooms, the large flakes had turned back into tiny floating dots. Not long after that, they too vanished. Spring snows were that way. They never lasted long. The low gray clouds would quickly give way to those high white ones, which would eventually depart to another place and leave blue skies and sunshine. The white carpet would fade to white patches. The patches would remain through the cold night, but by midday would too have gone. The season was changing. The light winds brought with them new smells and new feelings and new clothes and new weather. The winds brought change. A new season was slowly but surely making its way upon them all, beginning to settle on them like nighttime slowly creeping through the late afternoon, then into the early evening before the sun sets. Eventually, the sun will set. Eventually, the seasons will change. Eventually, the changes that come from life's chosen paths would begin to affect them. Change is such a strange thing. Unavoidable, yet shapeable. Change can be molded like a 2-year-old, creating his masterpiece with slabs of blue and yellow Play-Doh. It can be molded into a beautiful work of art. It can also be molded into a hideous monster that lives in only the darkest places and rears its ugly head when least expected. Its objective being only to hurt and harm those with the potential to do good. The monster's clear objective being that of stopping anyone's good potential before it actually happens. Change comes in two shades, and change was coming. Thanks for listening. Join us next time as we continue with Darkest Darker Dark. I'm Rodney Mathers. Goodbye for now.